This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Stan Walker, Forever, I'm Yours.
My woman, the first lady of Different Strokes, is back in the building. Welcome back from America, Jade. It's so
thank
good.
Thank you. It feels a bit new, Dave. I only got back yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you before trying to put on your headphones and adjusting in your seat. I'm like, I don't think she knows how to do radio anymore.
Believe it or not, like, I went to work today, Dave, and I had 670 emails.
Bam.
And gone in a day. That's how efficient I am. Keep that in mind.
Well, what? You just select all unread messages and just delete it?
No. Maybe.
Possibly. Yeah. Now, Jade, I am so thrilled that in your 5 weeks away in America, on your little voyage, that you didn't forget to bring me back something special.
Yeah, and of course. Unique. I thought about you every minute, Dave.
Well, especially when you came across magazines.
Yes. I went into several different shops, and each time it's like a different culture over there, Dave. There is a whole like African and women, American women's magazines section. Mm. And there's two things I know about Dave, and anyone who listens to anything Dave ever says will know this. Number one, he will defend magazines until the end of time.
That's very true.
Number two, and he loves to sniff them too. Number two, he, for whatever reason, seems to identify with African American women culture more than anything.
Like, possibly more than my own Asian culture.
And look, Dave, when I saw that Monica was on one of the covers, I was like, oh, this is for Dave. Like,
this is just rich, you guys. She came back and she bought me three Black Women magazines. So there's Essence, and then there's Black Women's Style Report, and Sister to Sister.
Yes.
Sister to Sister. Like, what is Sister to Sister going to say to me, Limonce? It's what I want to know. I'm so pleased. Like, you know, it's literally, you guys, there's pages and pages about weaves.
But Dave, like, there's all this advice and stuff from people who I assume we're supposed to know who they are. So Tammy Roman and her daughter Lyric are going to give advice.
Oh, and Candy as well, with a K.
Yeah. And I don't see who Tiny and T.I.
Tiny and T.I. I mean, you need to know Black American culture to know Tiny and T.I.
It's just like a whole other world. Anyway.
I'm so thrilled that you brought me back.
Meanwhile,
these.
Bottom line, Dave, something you told me, that you're now on a health kick, which I'm really proud of you for doing that, because I know that, you know, you're basically keeping some of the fast food restaurants in business. But how to dine out on a diet.
How to dine out on a diet. And this is in Sister to Sister.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to these tips. So thanks for bringing back these sassy magazines. Now, tonight's show, Jade, we are celebrating this as some sort of Jade's comeback episode.
Yeah, sure.
We're giving away cars.
Yeah, sure.
Things of that nature that Oprah would do.
How about you just do the Oprah voice for the rest of the show?
For the rest of the show.
That's present enough, right?
Okay, so Dave, You must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we are very lucky that for whatever reason, we have a friend of Different Strokes who now has a television program on. So we're actually able to do an interview. Like, Dave, we hardly ever get to do TV-related interviews.
It is true. We're very online-focused, and sometimes we even go to music territory. But we actually haven't tapped into TV very much. Mm-hmm. So I assume, you know, we'll be interviewing the host of Wheel of Fortune sometime after
this. Yeah, I think this might be just the beginning for us. Yeah. Anyways, it was with great pleasure that we were welcome John Richards from Outland to the studio.
Hello,
hey, John.
Jade. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Can I just mention, because I've been sitting here reading Black Woman Style Report, and I'm so thrilled to see that colour blocking is still in this season. I had thought that was out, but apparently back in. And also that Tawanda has a simple chic style that makes it easy for her to look great without trying too hard. I think we can all learn a lot from Tawanda.
Tawanda might as well say, it might as well say Limmy instead of Tawanda. Really.
I mean, I think Tawanda is the sassier Braxton sister.
She was, well done. She is actually a Braxton sister.
See, Jade knows this. Jade knows that this is my magazine because I know each of the Braxton sisters.
Well, each of them in there tells you their personal style. You're going to have so much fun.
I'm going to be adopting.
John, you've got a show that's starting on the ABC next week, and it's called Outland.
Yes, on ABC One, the one you can get in the country.
Yeah. tell us about the show and what it is.
Well, it's your standard gay and lesbian science fiction fan club comedy.
Yeah, that's really good.
Really standard.
Yeah,
it's an old trope, but we've found a new way into it.
Yeah.
And it's been, some people know, it's been bubbling away for ages.
I actually remember talking to you. I interviewed the Box Cutters over 2 years ago.
It was longer than that, I think. Yeah.
And you mentioning it then.
Yes, it was Adam Richard, the comedian Adam Richard, and I came up with the idea in a cafe in 2005. And now, 7 years later, overnight success. So it started off as this thing, let's make a show that you should be in. What's a great idea? Gay Science Fiction Fan Club. That's got mainstream hit written all over it. Channel 9, we bang on the door. We went to the ABC, they weren't interested. We made a short film version of it, which some people probably saw it at the Queer Film Festival. It went around the world. And then we went back to the ABC with the short film to go, what do you think about this? And I went, oh, you can make a show out of that. Really? What a great idea. So that was 2006, or possibly 7.
Yep.
We went to Princess Pictures, who at that point had made We Could Be Heroes, but hadn't yet had Summer Heights High Out. They got on board. And it's just been this weird thing where it's just been very, very slowly making its way down the track since then. We filmed it at the end of 2010, was edited by mid-2011. But the weird thing is the ABC went from making no product whatsoever to just making heaps of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't have a berth on their bunch.
Yeah, they kept promising and then it just never happened.
They kept promising. I know, they're a terrible lover, the ABC.
Which brings me to my favourite thing about your show, which is not related to your show at all, which is the Where's Outland Tumblr.
The Where's Outland Tumblr is pretty awesome.
Because, you know, anyone who listens, any strokers or anyone who listens to our show regularly knows that Dave and I are obsessed with Tumblr. And we will, you know.
We reblog,
I really think that you should take the fact that there is a Where's Outland Tumblr as a, that's an indicator that it's got fan.
This is the weird thing, because the show has been sort of around for so long, and we've had media attention genuinely from the beginning, in that the very first day of shooting we did on the short film was covered by Beat Magazine, which is pretty weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So people have always kind of known this thing was out there, and of course, it's, you know, it's an all gay characters, and they're all geek characters, and both the gays and the geeks, we're both massively, you know, we will love you or we will destroy you. Those are the two options. So people knew about it, and so when the first publicity shot got released in 2010, people went a bit crazy, and there were only two shots available for ages, which is two photos available, standard five characters on a white background sort of thing, which of course means that you can be Photoshop crazy with them. And then this Tumblr showed up, which...
This fan Tumblr showed up, and you guys will not believe the amount of backdrops, movie scenes, Godzilla.
Yeah, basically the Outland crew just keep appearing in anything possibly imagine, and people thought like it was genuinely not created as a publicity tool. Like, it genuinely appeared out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And for ages, we thought, well, it's going to be someone we know because no one's seen this thing. But it's just been, yeah, it was bubbling away and it's just fantastic.
And, you know, once the show actually airs, it's... You know, it's only going to get bigger, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is some people within the industry have seen the show, and the Tumblr allows you to submit pictures, mm-hmm. and I've submitted one.
Tell us which one it is, John. Up.
It was the Godzilla.
Did you?
I did the Godzilla.
I love the Godzilla one.
And Lee Zachariah from the Bazura Project submitted one as well because he's a fan of the show. He's like, oh, that's so sweet. Just the idea that we're at home like fanboys going, hee hee
So... It's a show about gay sci-fi peeps, but give us a broader scope of what the show is about. You've got five characters. Mm-hmm.
The very beginning of the story is that they were all part of a larger gay science fiction group, which has disintegrated just before the first episode starts because Ray, played by Christine Arnoux, has split up from her girlfriend Simone, who shows up later in the series, played by Rosa Hammond. And... the five of these guys have now been split, and now, because they're kind of smaller, have to start meeting in their own homes. And each episode is one meeting in a different member's home. Mm-hmm. But this is sort of a lot more intimate than they used to, and secrets come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, yeah, basically these people who haven't been that close necessarily, because also they're all meant to be from different parts of, all, of the queer community.
They all appear to be very different as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. The idea was meant to be these are not five people who would ever really be in a room together. Mm-hmm. It's their love of science fiction that puts them... into this one space. But it means that there's all this stuff that they perhaps wouldn't be upfront about themselves. I mean, the original gag too in the first episode is that Max is out about being gay, but he's closeted about being a geek. Mm-hmm. And he's on a date and doesn't want to tell the guy he's on a date with that he's a science fiction fan, mm-hmm. which is ruined by things like, you know, Fab, played by Adam Richard, coming out of his cupboard dressed as a Dalek. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be the idea that the whole show, like, it's full of, you know, it is clearly full of gay stuff and full of, you know, sci-fi fan stuff. But it's also just about the idea everyone has secrets. Everyone has passions, I think, they're slightly ashamed about. Or in your case, Dave, should be ashamed about. and it's that thing of how we... There are so many closets to come out of. You know,
it
it's
is. Like, and I feel that, you know, as geeks, you know, there is a reputation that geeks are very fanatical about what they're geeky about. You know, we talked about it a lot on Different Strokes. I'm a pop music geek. And, you know, that can be off-putting sometimes, you know, if it comes out in conversation with somebody who I've never met before.
Because there's any passion, you know, when taken
too far.
Well, but not even too far. Like, yeah, to the point that it's brilliant. You know, like, that's
it's really
I mean.
Great.
If you really love something, that is going to be slightly terrifying. Somebody
it
else.
Is. So I feel like it can, you know, whether you are a geek or whether you're not, you're just passionate about something, you're going to be able to relate to these characters.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So, yeah, if you're a fan and if you're gay and if you're a gay fan, obviously there's an awesome amount of stuff. But even if you're not, like one of the big things which Adam and I always tell people about was a screening at the London Queer Film Festival of the original short film. And this man came up to me afterwards after the screening and went, "So I saw your short film. I'm not a science fiction fan, but... I'm a train spotter." I mean, I went, hooray! It was like he was coming out of his little train spotter cupboard to say, "I go down and count train numbers because I'm mad." But, you know, but it was just that thing. He felt he could say that. And that's kind of what the show is about. It's about celebrating yourself, no matter how, you know.
I love this. I love this born this way kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I really have to ask you, John, what was it like working with Christine Godnew?
It was a bit awesome. It was so funny though, because when we were auditioning for that role, and that thing where you see lots and lots of people and you show up and they go, "Oh, I've got a disc of Christine Arnoux." And you go, "Really? Christine Arnoux?" And then they play it to you and she's awesome. Yeah. And you're going, "Oh, yeah, Christine Arnoux. She's the right
You know, here's the situation with Christine Arnoux and my Twitter friends and I. We often mention her on our respective Twitter feeds because we like to kind of talk about what Christine Arnoux could possibly be up to. Now, this is before 2012 where she's, you know, currently on another show and your own show. Mm-hmm. So we always say, what is Christine Arnoux, or we call her Godnew, up to? You know, because we feel like she's all-seeing on Twitter and she knows what's happening on Twitter. Yeah, yeah. I just feel like Christine Arnoux just knows what's going on.
She is awesome.
I'm so glad that, you know, she's on your show.
The weird stuff that pop music nerds get up to.
But it's also funny on the show. Yeah, this is, I think, one of her she's done a few bits and pieces before. This is her biggest acting gig, I think. And she's just brilliant. And she's so good. And I do remember coming home one day and going, I spent the day explaining what fisting thing was to Christine Arnoux. That was a weird dream. Oh, hang on. That really happened.
That really happened.
I just remember everyone saying, you make a duck over and over again, which was just...
And is Christine Arnoux really prepared for the fact that she's going to have to... Lesbians can be kind of nitpicky, Dave.
She's representing.
She's also playing a character who's paraplegic as well, which can also lead to other...
entire community...
may rise up against her.
Yeah.
We did have that, because when the first... I mean, MCV ran an article, you know, could this be bad for our community? When the first publicity photo was released, on the basis of one publicity shot, were me and Adam destroying the Melbourne gay world?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than... Oh my God, the ABC is making a show in which all the characters are gay. That is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we do, a friend always said we eat our young. You know, we do tend to get, I get why we do it. Like, mm-hmm. I get why we get quite on edge about this stuff. But it's funny to see how we've got to the point now, I think, where we're attacking first rather than actually asking questions.
Yeah, shouldn't we be all excited?
Well, we should be, because next Wednesday is when the show premieres.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will all be watching.
And the good news is, Dave, that you can still listen to our show, because our show finishes at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we said that to the ABC.
And Outland doesn't start until 9:30.
We said we need to make sure Different Strokes finishes, and there's time for you to get prepared.
Time for you to get
down, popcorn. Maybe a shower.
Yeah. Jade needs to get home.
Dave needs to get home even further.
There is actually a character in the second episode called Jade, and I think I stole her name from you.
Really?
Oh, I think I did. We're going to be watching closely and see how it lives up to the Jade name.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, it's a month into the year, and we're already into internet phenomenon mode.
It happens all the time, Jade. I mean, internet phenomenon mode doesn't rest because it's like 31st of December.
Yeah.
It doesn't reset on the 1st of Jan.
I have a feeling, Dave, that we will be talking about this shit so-and-so says stuff at the end of year, in our end of year review. It's
gone viral. So basically what's happened is that I'm sure a lot of you with Facebook or Twitter would have seen a friend or maybe yourself have posted the video clip for Shit Girls Say.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is where this all started.
Am I right?
This is the original perpetrator. So basically this is like a short comedy sketch sort of.
Yeah, it's a sketch.
It's about a minute or two something like that.
It's around a minute 30 or something. Quite short, snappy.
So it's basically just like a montage of a Shit Girls Say.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, they're usually very obvious, very blatant, very stereotypical stuff.
Yeah, it totally, like, this is the thing about the, and then, you know, from there, it's of course been
parodied.
Parodied whatever into, you know, any subgroup stereotype whatsoever you
every
can
race,
think of. It's been done. And that's in a month, like, just crazy.
I think it's really crazy, but I think everything has a limit to it. You know, some people do it well, and it's down to editing, it's down to comic timing,
mm-hmm.
it's down to how well you nail the particular group that you're trying to capture
and
or parody.
And that's the thing, Dave, like, when something takes off, you've always got to take the absolute awful with, you know, the good.
And it's so hard. It's so hard, isn't it, Jade?
Yeah.
Because everyone is sharing a clip of shit someone says. I mean, give you some examples here. We've got Shit Girls Say to Gay Guys,
mm-hmm.
which I love. I thought was funny.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, Dave. Like, because there's the shit straight girls say to lesbians. And there's, which is a good one too. But, it, like, what do you think of those? There's a lot of, like, what people say to gay people ones. Have you listened to those?
I've listened to those. And I've heard the one that Shit Girls Say to Gay Guys.
Yeah.
And I actually find that very relatable. And here's the thing. I reckon how we would gauge our enjoyment of these parody videos is probably based on how close mm-hmm. they are to
what
A,
people. Say
yeah, to what people say to us or what we've heard people in our life say.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard a lot of the, you know, two gay guys and things of that nature ones, but my absolute favorite, Jade, would have to be Shit Asian Moms Say. Now this...
Yeah, you got me to watch that before the show.
No, I mean, seriously, you guys, anyone with Asian parents, anyone who knows Asian moms, just, I think, can relate. I mean, when I watched this clip, I actually literally saw Mama Lim. I saw my mother.
Yeah.
I saw my aunties. I saw my mama's friends. I saw every Asian woman that I know in this clip. And it's just so great how they just, in one line, just capture all these things.
Dave, I have been a big fan of the geeky ones. There's a lot of shit web designers say, shit Silicon Valley say, social media pros say. And what I love about it, Dave, is in my job, I have to deal with a lot of these jargon people. And they have those characters down. They really do. But Dave, like anything, is it wearing thin?
I think it's wearing thin. I think we've seen it all now.
Yeah.
I reckon we've seen it all. And
time
I don't
to
need
give to, it a rest.
It's time to give it a rest, you guys.
Do they have a shit lesbian say to gay men?
I reckon there should be one. Yeah. I mean, surely.
Or shit that Jade says to Dave.
Any of us strokers want to do like a montage of things that Jade says to me? I mean, go download our podcast. I'm sure it's just literally peppered with it. It'll be like, oh, Dave, just go sniff a CD booklet or something.
Magazines are dead.
Magazines are dead or something, something cruel and hateful like that.
Beyonce's Diva was the worst music moment in Different Strokes history.
That is classic, you know, shit Jade says to Dave.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, I have been hearing about Lana Del Rey from people who are not you.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I know that she is getting a lot of mainstream attention now, but maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, she was a bit of a blogosphere thing. You know, a lot of people would know her for the song Video Games. You know, really cinematic, really moody stuff. And she's a bit of an enigma to a lot of people. You know, they see her as this very exciting new talent that is emerging. And she, you know, her album Born to Die, which is what I'm reviewing here today, has been said to be one of the most anticipated debut albums of this year. So needless to say, a lot of hype. People are saying she could be as big as Adele. I think I've said that on the show. But other people
you're
have
making
said,
big claims.
I am making big claims because there is a genuine hype behind her. Something happened, Jade, in between Video Games breaking out and this album dropping. And I'm going to tell you what happened in case you missed it because you were on holidays.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey performed on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And it sucked. That's what happened. So this is kind of disrupting the dream for me a little because there's this philosophy that, oh my God, who is this unknown talent that's emerging after years of singing? And, you know, her music is so beautiful and she's such a natural kind of bluesy, moody singer. So, and then next thing you know, she appears on Saturday Night Live, you know, last month, and it was terrible. And I was just thinking, is she tone deaf? Is this Rebecca Black? What is going on? Like, that was genuine outrage there. But people took to Twitter and all that. So I feel like this movement, this Lana Del Rey movement, has not been without problems.
Okay.
So it might not be as smooth sailing for the rest of the year for her.
She may not be Adele after all.
She may not be Adele like,
I don't know that much about Adele, but to my knowledge, Adele has not had one of those moments, right?
No, Adele's actually a flawless live performer, if not a bit awkward. But, you know, she never does a bum note. She never stands around awkwardly not knowing what to do with her hands. Lana Del Rey, on the other hand, hello...
Wouldn't she have coaching for that?
Have coaching? That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, you guys need to look up that video because that has disrupted the dream a little for me. Needless to say, this album, Born to Die, is still one of the most interesting albums I've heard in a while. Fans of video games and her current single, Born to Die, would know her for that kind of melancholy cinematic music. You know, we're talking a lot of strings, you know, a bit of blues and old school kind of inspiration. But really, Born to Die, the album, is not wall-to-wall material like that.
Okay.
She shakes it up a bit. Now, I remember reading her say that she is a bit of a gangster Nancy Sinatra. And I didn't get that at first. Okay. I didn't get where this gangster vibe was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys hear the album, oh, there's gangster.
Okay.
There is a definite indie blues hip hop fusion on the album. There are some tracks. I mean, we're talking about.
It sounds very confusing, Dave.
It does sound confusing, but it really makes sense, Jade. I mean, it's a very complex kind of fusion to read on paper. But mm-hmm. when you hear her do it, she's basically taken old school inspirations like Nancy Sinatra, but she's rendered it with very modern day productions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking layers and layers of sounds, you know, we're talking strings and orchestras and things of that, but with hip hop beats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice hybrid, I think. Particular attention to tracks like Off to the Races and Diet Mountain Dew. Now, these two tracks, I mean, it almost sounds like she's rapping on it, but not in a really hardcore way.
Yeah.
You know, almost like a spoken word rap. There's definite swag to it, but it's not ostentatious. It makes sense. My big problem with Lana Del Rey is that she has a very beautiful mid-alto range. And, you know, we're talking about that really smooth, really, you know, velvety kind of vocals that we hear on video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted an album more of that, except she is prone to taking it to her falsetto and her head voice,
yeah,
which is wispy. And a lot of times, Jade, it sounds like she's cooing like a little girl. So I'm like, she sounds a little insane at parts. She sounds very weak, very vulnerable. And then she goes to these really strong, very warm vocal tones. So you guys have to be mindful of that, that vocally she really is giving you the full spectrum,
mm-hmm.
but not in a way a pro would do it.
Okay.
So love it or hate it, this is her vocal styling. I think people either really enjoy this album or go, nah, this sucks. So there is room, though. I have to say, this album has room to grow on you because mm-hmm. at first I thought, no, this is not for me. But, you know, try the gangster Nancy Sinatra tracks that I mentioned before because you might like it.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
Now, we're going to leave you with Last Dinosaurs.
Yes.
Because really, they've all died out except for these ones.
Yes.
The track is called Zoom. I thought I was funny.
It was kind of funny.
Come on.
I thought you were going to make some reference to me being a dinosaur, so it was
another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your first week back. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll go easy on you.
I'm glad you felt like you could be nice.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.